Well, Father, again tonight, as we gather around your word, we ask your blessing. We know, Lord, that through your word you speak to us. We know that this word was inspired by you. It was given to the apostles and prophets who wrote it by your Spirit. And just as it spoke to them, Lord, we pray that through this word you would speak to us today. We pray that you would minister to us in our need, that you would build us in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. So once again tonight in our series, The Contrast, if I can talk, Contrast of the Cross, we come to two revelations that we again see in the cross of Jesus. And as you see, tonight we're going to be looking at the revelations of shame and in glory. And once again, these two circumstances, they seem to be completely contradictory on the surface. It doesn't seem possible that both of them could be seen in the same place. Now, shame, as most of you know, it's a condition of humiliating disgrace. But glory, on the other hand, it's a great honor or a distinction. And so this leaves us stumped. It's hard to understand how someone could be both shamed and glorified at the same time. And it's hard to understand because, again, these two concepts are polar opposites. But that's what we'll be looking at. Now, I think most of you realize that Christians are pretty much like everybody else in the world. Like everybody else, we're a fallen people. Like everyone else, we're an imperfect people. We are a people deserving of God's judgment. And just like everyone else around us, we're a people who suffer the consequences of sin. We suffer from illnesses, we suffer pain, we experience grief, and we're mortal. We are subject to death. And there's really only one thing that sets us apart. There's only one thing that truly separates Christians from non-Christians. And what I'm referring to is the cross of Christ. There's one main thing that separates our faith from every other religion on the face of the earth. And once again, that one thing is the cross of Christ. It's our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus that makes us distinct. And it's also the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's the cross that brings both shame and glory to the believer in Jesus. Now, this is something we see as we look at our lesson for tonight, which is taken from the book of Galatians. Now, in this book, Paul is coming against a group of people who are promoting something other than the cross. They were a group of people that said, in order to be saved, people not only had to trust in Jesus, but they also had to be circumcised. And what they were saying, in not so many words, is that the people had to become Jewish. They had to adhere to all of the laws of Judaism before they could become Christian. And according to Paul in our lesson, they did this so that they might make a good showing in the flesh. They were pursuing this, they were pushing this, so that they might look good to others and that they might look good particularly to the Jews. And their motive in this was simply that they might escape persecution for the cross of Christ. However, in doing this, they were requiring something for salvation in addition to faith in Christ. And Paul insisted that these people were absolutely wrong. He said that man is not saved through obedience to the law, but he is saved only through faith in Christ. So again, the cross is what separated Paul from these other teachers. It separated him because he believed that nothing other than the cross could save him. And more than that, he believed that nothing in addition to the cross could save him. He believed again that God's mercy, that his grace is received only through faith in Jesus who died and who rose again. Now this, of course, is also the faith to which you and I hold. And people of no other faith believe what we believe. People of every religion on the face of the earth, they believe in something other than the cross for salvation. Every other religion believes that we earn our salvation. And whether it's through ceremonies or whether it's through a set of rules that they are called to follow, they believe that we can do something in order to merit our salvation. But in verse 14 of our lesson for tonight, and I think this is the crux of the whole passage, Paul says this. He says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." So according to Paul, he would boast in nothing other than the cross, and he would do so because he had absolutely nothing that he could bring to the table. Through the cross, Paul says, the world has been crucified to him and he to the world. And what he means by this is that though he was once a part of the world, he is now dead to it. And the world is dead to him. He no longer belongs to the world, and neither does the world belong to him. So in the eyes of the world, Paul stood condemned, but in the eyes of Paul, the world stood condemned. He and the world were separated, and they could not be joined back together. They were separated by the cross of Christ. Martin Luther explains it this way in his commentary on Galatians. He says, "I judge the world to be damned. The world judges me to be damned. I abhor all the doctrine, righteousness, and works of the world as poison of the devil. The world again detests my doctrine and deeds and judges me to be seditious, a resilient fellow, and a heretic." So what it comes down to is that there is no reconciling the mindset of the world in the mindset of Scripture. We cannot hold to both at the same time. Holding to one means excluding the other. Now, looking at our lesson, we see that Paul, he detested all glory that is without the cross of Christ. And he did so because there is nothing else that could distinguish him from the world around him. There is nothing in him that made him worthy of honor. As he says in Philippians 3, starting in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." So according to Paul, if anyone had reason to put confidence in the flesh, if anyone had reason to have confidence in himself, it was Paul. It was him. He had absolutely everything going for him as far as the world was concerned. He was part of the people of Israel. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin. And so he was part of God's chosen people. He was circumcised on the eighth day, as was commanded in the law of God. He was a Pharisee, meaning that he was a very learned, educated man who insisted on strict adherence to the law of God. He was extremely zealous. And he doesn't go into it here, but he went as far as persecuting the church of Christ before he was saved. And in regard to the law, he tells us, he was faultless. So again, he lived a life of very strict obedience to the law of God. So anyone who looked at Paul from the outside would judge him to be a good person. Anyone who knew him would think that because he was so good, he, of all people, deserve to be saved. But Paul says that whatever was to his gain, he considered loss when compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. So Paul understood that all of these criteria cited on his resume, they amounted to absolutely nothing. In fact, he considered all of these things to be worthless. He considered them to be garbage. He trusted not in his own righteousness. He trusted only in Christ and looked only to the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus. This separation between Paul and the world, this separation caused by the cross, it then resulted in Paul being shamed by the world. He was looked down upon. He was abused. We read in the book of Acts how Paul was beaten and stoned, arrested and tried because of the cross. We read how on a couple of occasions he was run out of town by the people. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul describes some of the abuse that he had endured for Christ. Starting in verse 24, he says, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches." Now, as you think about that, as you look at those words that Paul wrote, I think you would agree that this is a lot for one man to experience. And this wasn't even the end of it. History tells us that Paul eventually went to his death for the Lord. We are told that he was beheaded in the year 66 AD. He was shamed by the world because of the cross. He was shamed because of his faith in Jesus. And he, of course, is not the only one who has been shamed in this way. Throughout the centuries, countless believers have suffered for the name of Jesus. They have been abused for their faith. In fact, believers around the world today continue to suffer. And even though here in the United States it's much easier by comparison, even we are not immune to this treatment. As Christians, Scripture tells us that we will be hated by the world. And indeed we are. We continue to be despised and shamed because of the cross of Christ. In John 15, Jesus told his disciples that if the world hated them, they were to keep in mind that it hated him first. He told them that if the world persecuted him, it will persecute them also. And we know what the people did to Jesus. We know the suffering, the shame that he endured. He was considered to be a criminal. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. He was hung on the cross. If the world treated Jesus in this way, you and I then cannot expect to be treated any better. In Luke 21:17, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." And in Matthew 10, starting in verse 16, Jesus said to them, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures till the end will be saved." So again, as believers, we will be detested by the world. We'll be shamed by the world. We'll be detested and shamed because of our faith in Jesus, because of our faith in his death and his resurrection, and because of our trust in him alone. So once again, we'll be detested and shamed because of the cross. Now, Paul refers to the gospel as foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to the world, he says, even though in God's eyes it's wisdom. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And it's for this reason that the world despises those who have faith in Jesus. It's because to them the gospel seems like foolishness. It seems foolish to them that anyone could believe this message that we proclaim. It seems foolish to them that anyone could trust in the cross. And this seems like a great burden for us to bear, and that it is. But in addition to the shame of the world, we also see glory in the cross. We see the glory given to us in the cross. We receive glory because this is what God bestows upon us as a result of Jesus' death and resurrection. Even though we are shamed by the world, we are glorified by God. Even though the world treats us with humiliating disgrace, Christ bestows upon us honor and distinction. And again, he does so because of Jesus, because of his sufferings. In verse 15 of our lesson for tonight, Paul says that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything. In other words, it didn't matter whether you had gone through this rite or not. What counts, he says, is a new creation. Our glory, you see, is found in the fact that we have been made new. Our glory is found in the fact that our old life is a thing of the past. It's found in the fact that we have a new life that has been given to us by God. No longer do we live for the desires of the flesh, we live instead for the Lord. No longer are we condemned to an eternity of judgment, we have received instead the blessing of salvation and everlasting life. No longer are we children of wrath, as we are described in Ephesians 2. We are now children of God, we are now the people of God. And this glory is possible only because of the cross. There's no other way that our sin can be washed away. We can't repay the debt that we owe, and no one else can pay this debt for us. Only the sinless Son of God can accomplish this, and it could be accomplished only by his sacrifice. This glory is received then only through faith in Jesus. It's obtained only in faith that Jesus died for us and rose again, that we might have this forgiveness. We can receive this glory through no other faith or philosophy. It's found only in Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul again says in our lesson for tonight, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Like Paul, you and I, we have nothing to bring to the table. There is nothing in ourselves of which we can boast. We can boast only in God become man. We can boast only in his perfect life. We can boast only in the sacrifice that he offered on our behalf as he died on the cross. And we can boast only in his resurrection from the grave, which assures us of his victory, and that we too will live forever in the presence of God. So again, in the cross, we see both shame and glory. And as much as we would like to do so, we cannot separate the two. It's not possible. We cannot at the same time receive the glory of the world as well as that of God. Receiving the world's glory means being shamed by God. It means missing out on his salvation. But receiving the shame of the world means being glorified by God. As believers in Jesus, we will absolutely receive disgrace and humiliation from the world around us, but at the same time, we'll receive honor and glory from the Lord, and all of this is due to the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time to reflect tonight, and we are thankful for the hope that you have given to us. Even though, Lord, none of us like the idea of suffering, none of us like the idea of being shamed, we realize that the world will treat us just as it treated you. And we pray that you would give us the strength to endure and not only to endure, but to bear faithful witness in the face of this suffering. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you'll return, when we can live forever in your presence, free from the shame of this world, but forever in the glory that you have provided for us. And we ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.